This is a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News. Corrine Brown sentenced on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good evening, I'm Mark Jackson, and welcome to a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News on the heels of a big day in federal court as former Congresswoman Corrine Brown gets a sentence of 5 years in prison handed down by U.S. District Judge Timothy Corrigan. Two co-defendants getting sentencing as well. We're joined tonight by reporter Stephanie Brown, chock full of information from her time spent today at those sentencings, and WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin joining us with legal expertise, as always. We'll get started quickly tonight because there's lots to digest. First to Stephanie, lots of drama in that courtroom today, I'm sure.
It was actually one of those atmospheres that was probably even a little bit more subdued than many of the people who have been following the trial may have expected. What I want to do first is just kind of take you inside of the courtroom, because when you're talking about these federal court proceedings, there's not a lot of people that experience this firsthand. And unlike county court proceedings, you can't film inside of there. You can't take photos inside of there. You can't even record the audio. So to bring you inside of what we saw today, I think the most significant thing is this was the first time that I recall in this case where all three of these co-defendants, former Congresswoman Corrine Brown, her former chief of staff, Ronnie Simmons, and the president of this sham charity that they funneled money through, Carla Wiley, they were all in the same courtroom today, and they were sitting within feet of each other at the two defense tables, but there was no interaction. There was no eye contact. There was no statement, acknowledgement of each other. It was intriguing to see how there was almost a wall in between them all, despite the fact that they were sitting just inches away from each other. WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin here with me. You know, when you have two people who have testified against the third person being Brown, I guess it's not necessarily surprising to see that there's not a lot of warm feelings here.
Well, the word that a lot of the kids say is awk. It was pretty awkward. And that's what you see, because if you think back during the time that this conspiracy was going on, and now we can certainly call it a conspiracy, you had Wiley, Simmons, and Brown, who were day-to-day, in a day-to-day relationship. Corrine obviously commanded a tremendous presence and was a driving force and demanded a lot of respect. But they were both reporting to her. They were working with her. You can imagine Carla Wiley, when she first met Corrine, was probably in awe because she's working with a congressman, and now all of a sudden a congressperson is her friend. And that all changed when this case went down, and they, you know, had to run for cover. And eventually, both Wiley and Simmons pled guilty. And so that set up a stage that was of incredibly awk, as they say, in the courtroom.
So to set the stage, for those of you who maybe haven't been following this case as closely, this all started early last year when Carla Wiley, the president of this sham charity, One Door for Education, she pleaded guilty and agreed to testify, to work with the government as they continued to build their case. Ultimately, Simmons pleading guilty as well, Brown facing trial, though, and being found guilty on 18 fraud-related charges, the prosecutor showing that the three of them solicited hundreds of thousands of dollars to this sham charity organization, One Door, and ultimately used that money for their personal expenses instead, including not just ATM withdrawals, but lavish events and a skybox at an NFL game, a luxury box at a Beyonce concert, all funded by money that the donors thought was going to be going toward charity instead, towards scholarship, education scholarships. So from this sentencing today, and let's start with Brown, because obviously that's where our attention is. She was a congresswoman at the time this was all happening. We know she since was voted out of office. So now former Congresswoman Corrine Brown, ultimately the judge determining today that 5 years in prison is the appropriate sentence in this case. Mark, is that sounding right on your ears?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. Corrine Brown and her supporters today were very optimistic that she and her service for more than two decades to this community would have been worth more, and they were hoping that she was going to be getting probation. Then there's a whole contingent of folks out there in the community that really wanted retribution and really felt hurt by the abuse of trust that was put into her. One of the things that we saw earlier today was a statement that came out of the FBI where they were almost incredulous that such a conspiracy could result in such a small amount of time for somebody that was in such a powerful position.
And I do have that FBI statement in front of me. It's from the special agent in charge in the Jacksonville division, Charles Spencer. And it says in part, it's incredibly disappointing that an elected official who took an oath year after year to serve others would exploit the needs of children and abuse the charitable hearts of constituents to advance her own personal and political agendas and deliver them with virtually nothing. So as you said, I mean, that's a sharply worded statement. And I think one of the surprising things here is that despite everything that's been going on, Brown still does have that solid support base. And that's something that came out in the courtroom today. In fact, CBS 47, Fox 30 Action News Jax reporter Jenna Bourne was there with me through this process inside of the courtroom. And we heard the judge talk about not just a few letters, but hundreds of letters he says he's gotten in support of Brown.
He made it clear that those letters certainly influenced him and that her works both in office and outside of her office, just helping people person to person, influenced his decision, and that he took that into account. And he did mention that not only did he get all of those letters before the sentencing hearing, but that those letters continued to pour in after the sentencing hearing, and he read every single one.
So with the sentencing hearing, that was a couple weeks ago, we actually heard the advisory guidelines in this case, or basically what, when you consider the statute and you consider factors like her age and her history, it was around 7 to 9 years that we were looking at. And at that time, prosecutors had said, we want her to serve at least 5, if you adjust down, at least 5. What we saw in the courtroom today was the advisory guidelines actually changed a little bit. And I think this might have been a little bit unexpected, because what the judge did is he took away an enhancement for obstruction of justice. The government had said Brown lied on the stand when she testified. She perjured herself. And the judge said that he wasn't convinced. So ultimately, he adjusted those guidelines down. But even with those adjusted guidelines, this 5-year sentence still falls just outside of it and below that. You know, if you're following this case and you hear that this congressperson has this sentence just under the advisory guidelines, is that satisfying for average Joe Jacksonville?
Well, it's not going to be satisfying for those people that wanted blood. And there was certainly a lynch mob mentality out there of folks that felt and watched Corrine Brown over 20 years in a way that they felt was incendiary in the way that she conducted herself, the hubris that she had and built for herself and among her constituency. On the other side, folks that were aligned with her and believe in her and still believe in her, they really can't be disappointed when they think about the facts, because 5 years is a very lenient sentence for what she was risking and what she did. Later, we'll talk about what the judge was thinking when he gave that sentence and why.
And one distinction in the sentence, too, because, you know, the immediate feedback that I've gotten from people is they say, well, 5 years on 18 charges, that means only a few months each. I do want to emphasize that's not the case. The 5-year sentence is actually for each of the fraud related charges. She did have 3 tax related convictions for which she was actually sentenced a little under 5 years. But the vast majority of her counts, the judge sentenced her to 5 years on each charge. Those sentences are just being allowed to run concurrently. It's an important issue, especially as we talk later in the show about the possibility of appeals, because we know that, you know, maybe some charges are overturned, some charges are not. But by having this 5-year sentence on each charge, that's going to, I imagine, play a factor in the long run.
Well, a lot of what the judge did from the beginning to the end is to manage and patrol his courtroom. And part of that is making sure that what happens in the courtroom stays in the courtroom, and that no appeals court down the road can look back and say, well, this was out of order or this was outside the lines in that courtroom. So a lot of these things, dealing with the guidelines, taking out the less than persuasive charges, all those things are about getting this case into the mainstream and eliminating all potentials for error, so that when it goes in front of an appellate court, there's a very clean and pristine transcript. And the appellate court has nothing to do but say, hey, nothing here happened outside of the ordinary.
And we do have those appeals that will be coming. Again, we're going to take a closer look at that coming up in just a little bit. But, you know, we also had two other people that got sentences today. And from a legal perspective, almost as if not more interesting than the sentence that Brown was given. So we're going to take a deep dive in that, Mark Jackson. I think that's going to be what we're coming up with.
Well, we are certainly going to be looking forward to that at 6:20. This is a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News, recapping today's events. Former Congresswoman Corrine Brown getting 5 years in federal prison on federal criminal convictions. Also, two others, Ronnie Simmons, Carla Wiley, sentencing as well. When we come back, we'll continue breaking it all down with reporter Stephanie Brown and WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin. Don't go anywhere. We've got more coverage for you coming up next.
This is a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News. Corrine Brown sentenced on News 104.5 WOKV.
Welcome back to Jacksonville's Evening News Special Edition. The Corrine Brown sentencing today, earlier today at the federal courthouse, sentenced to 5 years on multiple charges of corruption. Two others getting sentences of their own were being joined tonight by reporter Stephanie Brown and WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin. Sentenced to jail time, but not as much as the former congresswoman herself. But Stephanie, Ronnie Simmons, and Carla Wiley will serve time in prison.
So the interesting thing with Ronnie Simmons' sentence, and I'm going to bring and WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin almost right away here, is that we talked in the last segment about the advisory guidelines for Corrine Brown and basically how she was recommended or looked like she was going to get anywhere between around 5 and 9. And then it was just, you know, around 5. So she was a little bit outside of those advisory guidelines, but a little bit down. The judge made it clear as he was reading off his feelings toward Ronnie Simmons that he was sentencing Simmons above the advisory guidelines. Simmons, the former chief of staff, getting 4 years in prison. And I think that took everybody a little bit by surprise.
Yes, Stephanie, you're right. And, you know, you think about a government witness who pleads guilty, who provides information to the government to help them prove their case, is going to get rewarded for that. And of course, that's what Corrine Brown's defense team argued throughout the case, that Ronnie Simmons would be rewarded. Well, the judge sort of sits in the crucible. He is listening to the testimony and the advocates, both for the prosecution and the defense. And so he's sitting there, he's listening to all of it, and he's the ultimate arbiter of the truth. The jury votes guilty or not guilty, but the judge is the one who sets the sentencing. And clearly, this judge did not like what he heard from Ronnie Simmons.
One of the things that he seemed to really take exception to with Simmons, he was also pleaded guilty to a charge unrelated to this sham charity scheme. He admitted to getting his sister a ghost job virtually at the House of Representatives, and not just getting her that job and her salary, but then taking some of that salary herself. And the judge really seemed to take exception to him having this simultaneous fraud scheme concurrent to the one that also involved the former congresswoman. Christy Turner with our partner CBS 47, Fox 30, Action News, Jax actually followed Simmons in and out of the courtroom and had some interesting observations about that.
One thing I noticed when Ronnie Simmons walked in, I asked him, are you worried about you possibly being able to face some jail time, some prison time? And he just kind of snickered. Well, his whole mood was a little different when he came outside after learning his 48-month prison sentence. I asked him how he felt, if he thought it was too harsh. He said he had no comment, but I could hear the shakiness in his voice. Aside from that, I didn't really see any emotions leaving the courthouse either, except Corrine Brown's daughter did come outside with her eyes bloodshot red from crying.
So we know Simmons, again, 4 years in prison. The other co-defendant here, Carla Wiley, she was sentenced to 1 year and 9 months. And coming up in just a few minutes, bringing back in Mark Jackson here, we're going to dive into what comes next now.
Well, we sure are, and we'll come back and continue to break down today's sentences of former Congresswoman Corrine Brown and two co-defendants, Carla Wiley and Ronnie Simmons. Brown getting 5 years, Wiley 1 year and 9 months, Simmons getting 4 years in prison. What's the significance of all that? Stay with us.
This is a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News. Corrine Brown sentenced on News 104.5 WOKV.
Welcome back to a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News. I'm Mark Jackson. Stephanie Brown with us, also joined by WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin. We're breaking down all of today's sentencing activities involving the former Congresswoman Corrine Brown and two co-defendants. They're all three getting jail time. So we're going to talk about in this segment what exactly comes next, starting with Stephanie Brown.
Well, so what we heard in the courtroom today, just to recap, if you're just tuning in, former Congresswoman Corrine Brown, 5 years in prison. Her former chief of staff, Ronnie Simmons, sentenced to 4 years. And the president of the sham charity they all funneled money through, Carla Wiley, she was sentenced to 1 year and 9 months. But they are not going to prison right away. The judge has decided that they are all being allowed to voluntarily surrender on a date that's going to be determined by the Bureau of Prisons, but not before January 8th. So what this means is, and the government didn't object to this, what this means is that they haven't violated their pretrial release so far. They aren't believed to be a threat to the community at this point. So ultimately, they're being allowed to stay out of prison, get their affairs in order, you know, spend a couple of weeks doing what they need to be doing before they will ultimately surrender to prison. Bringing in WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin, this may not be something that a lot of people want to necessarily hear, but I don't believe it's necessarily uncommon, especially in a white-collar kind of case.
Well, the lynch mob might want to see Corrine go to jail immediately, but the logic of that really doesn't work that way. The system doesn't. We're a civilized society. It is not a violent crime. We're not in a situation where Corrine Brown or the other two are a clear and present danger or some kind of danger to the community, and nor are they really flight risks. They're not facing life in prison, although you might argue that the majority of Corrine's remaining years might end up in prison. But still, we give people time to get ready. But again, it's not a cakewalk. It's not a time for a party. We are looking at the Christmas holiday that's coming up. But I will tell you, and having represented people in this situation before, there's a lot of angst that happens in the time between your sentencing and your surrender date. It's not a party. It might be more like the anxiety that you would have before having to have chemotherapy. It's just not a good time. You have that unknown, that fear that's in front of you, and it's a very uncomfortable situation, not only for these three, but their families.
And not to mention, they're facing some new restrictions now as well. The judge saying that Simmons and Wiley, their travel is now restricted to only the Virginia, D.C., and Maryland areas. Brown is having her travel restricted to the Middle District of Florida, the Jacksonville area, so to speak. And Brown even said, or her attorney said in court today, that she had a trip planned for D.C. this week. And the judge said that they would have to work with the pretrial release officers and that he didn't necessarily object to her taking that travel. And I imagine he wouldn't object to Simmons and Wiley potentially going out of their zones as well. But that's something they now need approval for.
Well, think about that. Corrine Brown knew she had a sentencing today and she planned a trip to go to D.C. next week. Really?
Yeah, and it's interesting because they did say that she has some affairs to get in order up in D.C. They didn't specify what, but it is interesting now that you mentioned that, you know, she was confident, or it would seem confident enough that she would be able to travel that way. And, you know, we did actually hear from Brown's attorney very briefly after the hearing took place. We did not hear from Brown or any of the co-defendants in this case. But James Smith III, Brown's attorney, did, you know, make it clear that they were not really comfortable with the judge's ruling today.
I was surprised that the court imposed a term of incarceration because I do believe, given her age and everything that she's done, that a sentence of probation would have been appropriate. However, I know that this court does not have the last word concerning the Congresswoman's fate. And as much as I respect Judge Corrigan, and I do believe that he tried to do what he believes was just and fair, I don't think that a sentence of imprisonment was warranted under the circumstances. And I say that no way to be disrespectful to the court. I just respectfully disagree with the idea that a woman who's 71 should have to go to prison for a nonviolent economic offense.
And so Smith made it clear already today that they will continue to appeal. We already saw this take place after the trial itself. They motioned for a new trial. They motioned for judgment of acquittal. Ultimately, were turned down. Smith made sure to mention today that he was preserving prior objections for appeal. And of course, this could add an extra layer with Brown's case because he's also motioning to let her stay out pending those appeals.
Right. Well, Smith's statement is really just a defense attorney checking a box. really, because what else is he going to say? Is he going to stand there and say, yeah, I think the 5-year sentence was fair? No, his job is to advocate for his client, and his advocation was what his client wanted, which was no prison time. So when he came out, he said, yeah, I think it was unfair, but I do respect the judge's discretion to make that statement. And of course, that's what he did. Now, where we go from here is that his next checkbox for him is to try to keep Corrine Brown out of jail for as long as he possibly can. That's the message that he's been given, and that's the plan that he's been on. As you may remember, they tried many times to delay this sentencing, unsuccessfully eventually, and the judge actually ruled on that today in court. But he's going to continue to try to keep Corrine out of jail because there is that fear of going to prison and the hope that maybe she can just have this whole appeal get decided and somehow miraculously overturn, maybe a Hail Mary, without her ever having to go to jail. I think that's highly unlikely, though.
So what does the appeals process here look like? I had many people asking me today, can she just appeal until the cows come home and just, you know, stay out of prison potentially indefinitely there?
No, the cows will eventually come home. This case is going to get appealed. It's going to go to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a court that's based in Atlanta. It is a court that that reviews all district court, criminal court convictions. And everybody has one appeal by a matter of right. And so Corrine and the others, if they chose to appeal, but they probably won't, all have that one appeal. So appeals don't go on forever. You get one appeal. There is an opportunity to have other appeals if there are mistakes that are found, but that's unlikely as well. As they say, the pendulum has swung. You're innocent until proven guilty, and then after that conviction comes down, the pendulum starts moving in the opposite direction. So it becomes more and more difficult. As you may remember, motions were filed after the trial to set aside the verdict. That failed. Now we've tried to delay the sentencing. That's failed. Eventually, she's going to have to go to prison, and it's unlikely that the judge is going to let her stay out on appeal during the course of the appeal. And then ultimately, the appeal will come. And as I said earlier, and we talked about this at length, the trial court here has done everything it can to create a clean record to make sure that there's nothing that can be appealed when the case ultimately gets to Atlanta.
How long could that one appeal take?
Well, this is a case of great public importance. People are watching this, and there's a lot of scrutiny. It will take, if she was out on bond during the appeal, you can bet that this appeal would take forever for good reason. But if she's in jail while the appeal is going on, then her team is going to do a 180, and they're going to be trying to push this case and the appellate decision as quickly as possible in hopes that if it was reversed, that she would get out of jail quicker.
Sure. And we didn't hear definitively one way or another from Simmons and Wiley today and their attorneys about whether appeals will be considered. It was also briefly interesting to hear that the attorneys also seem a little bit unsure if they're handling the cases moving forward. Even Brown's attorney, James Smith, said to the judge that he will make sure the appeal is filed in a timely manner, but it's to be determined if he stays on beyond that. And we know already that Brown has cycled through a few different attorneys up until this point. Finances for an attorney have been a question. If you have to flip at this stage in the game, potentially even take a court-appointed attorney at this stage in the game, I imagine that's probably something that's going to add to your timeline.
Well, many times, and I'm not saying that's the situation here, but many times it's all about the dollar bill. And a defense attorney cannot continue to handle a case on and on and on without getting paid. So certainly Corrine and her attorney have had plenty of time to talk about the future and how that's going to go. Obviously, Corrine is under significant financial stress. This whole criminal conspiracy was about her having a lifestyle that was above her means and being able to support that. So what we're dealing with here is she had to figure out a way to get him paid through the trial, and now she's got an appeal to run. And it could be that she can work it out, and maybe it's not about the dollar bill. Maybe there's an altruistic side of Mr. Smith, and he's ready to handle this case, as you say, till the cows come home. But in many times, the rubber meets the road over the dollar bill.
And when we are looking at the judge's statements, I want to start getting into those, and we'll probably carry that into the final segment here. But the judge, Timothy Corrigan, really giving some of, I think, the most direct and pointed comments that he has given throughout this entire proceeding. In court today, during this pronouncement, he read his sentencing order, which is, I think, more than two dozen pages here. It took about an hour, a little bit more, to get through the whole proceeding. And some of the really notable things that he said, he said this trio operated this sham charity as if it were a criminal enterprise. He said that this was a crime born of entitlement and greed. And, you know, just all of these really direct comments, it painted the picture very early on, while we did have this hour-long proceeding, that probation was going to be off the table. He gave that hint almost out the gate.
Yeah, this is the big leagues, okay? You're put in a position of public trust. You're out there talking with people, making representations to them, supposedly doing good work, supporting children and education and people that can't afford a better way. And you're raising money in the community for that. And the judge looked at that and said, wait a minute, these people were taking this money and putting it in their pockets. He said, at one point, he said, in his observation, that they were actually waiting for the money to come in so they could grab it. And that, to me, struck a nerve to say that this judge was very upset at this process, and he believed that from everything that he saw in the testimony during the case.
And that leads to talk about, you know, who were the victims here. That was something that came up during the sentencing today. The interesting part being that he noted that the donors here, the people who donated money to what turned out to be this sham charity, ultimately didn't come to a sentencing hearing to speak, ultimately seemed to be unfazed, more or less, by being out tens of thousands of dollars in some cases. For Corrigan, he said some of the real victims are the people who could have been helped by this sham charity. One of the quotes that really stuck out to me, and it's something that the prosecutors have said before as well, just think of the good that could have been done with that money. In other words, you have more than $800,000 that was raised for this organization. What if that had actually gone to education scholarships?
So you have two classes of victims in this kind of a case. You have one victim, a set of victims who don't even know that they're victims. These are the people that could have been helped with this money that did not know, never knew that that money was given in a way that eventually could have trickled down to help them. The other victims are people who were very wealthy. This was disposable money for them. Maybe they were giving because they were trying to help and be charitable.
Or maybe they wanted access to
or
Brown.
Or maybe they wanted access to a very strong and influential public figure. So that created a very interesting set of circumstances and dynamic, because a lot of these people did not want to come to court and testify at all during the trial. They certainly weren't coming to a sentencing hearing. Contrast that to a Bernie Madoff hearing, where a sentencing hearing where you had days and days and days of people saying that he stole my life savings. Every penny I had was tied up with him. I am a real victim. Corrine Brown benefited from the fact that the victims of these crimes did not come to court, and in many cases did not even know they were victims, and the ones that did had other reasons to not testify against her.
One of the other things that was talked about was the role of race in all of this. And Mark Jackson, that's something that we will hit in this last segment coming up.
Very interesting. Thank you so much, Mark Rubin and Stephanie Brown. Stay right there. We're going to get right back to a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News, all about the sentencing of former Florida Congresswoman Corrine Brown and two co-defendants, Ronnie Simmons and Carla Wiley, with reporter Stephanie Brown, WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin, and Mark Jackson. We'll see you on the flip side.
This is a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News. Corrine Brown sentenced on News 104.5 WOKV.
It's 6:56 on News 104.5 WOKV. Back to a special edition of Jacksonville's Evening News. Mark Jackson, Stephanie Brown, Mark Rubin. What a big day in Jacksonville. We're downtown earlier this morning. Former Congresswoman Corrine Brown sentenced to 5 years in prison. Ronnie Simmons, Carla Wiley got prison time as well. It'll be a minute before they have to report. But Stephanie, race. The judge says it was not a factor.
So the reason that the judge brought this up today is because Brown has made this a factor in this case. She claimed ahead of the trial itself that this whole prosecution was motivated by her race, her position, her status. And the judge felt a need to address this, even saying that he wouldn't normally address this in a case of this kind. But because it's something that the government has highlighted her comments and because of the comments she made, he wanted to make it clear based on the evidence that was presented. He believes that the FBI, the IRS, the U.S. Attorney's Office would have prosecuted this case regardless of who was committing the violations. He felt it was important among the many things he highlighted as considerations for the sentencing that he ultimately gave today. He wanted to make sure that people knew that he thought about that, but that it wasn't what Brown tried to make it. And ultimately, in our last thought here, another question we get a lot is, okay, she's going to go to prison. What exactly does that mean? So, you know, bringing in WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin, I mean, is she behind bars? Is she in a jumpsuit? What could we be seeing here?
Well, this is where cold, a wet reality starts to slip in, because when Corrine Brown takes off her street clothes and her jewelry and whatever she is part of her regular attire, she's jumping. She's going to be in a jumpsuit. She's going to be subject to body cavity searches and strip searches, and she's going to be treated like a convicted felon. And that starts with going to a classification center, and then she'll be ultimately be sent to the facility that it best fits her profile. It will probably and most likely be a minimum security prison for women. She'll be in there with other criminals, and life will go on. Now, she will have to learn how to socialize. She's used to being the king of the hill, everybody coming to her and serving her. And because she's in her 70s, anybody that's in prison in their 70s is going to get somewhat of a pass in terms of respect just for the age. But it could go the other way, because you know, prison is a rough place, and you know, if you've seen Orange is the New Black, it won't be like that. But it also is not a controlled environment as much as one might think that it is. So it's going to be she's actually going to have to be a politician of a different kind in prison.
And we know that she is asked to serve her time in a facility close to Jacksonville. The judge said he would make that recommendation, but ultimately it's the Bureau of Prisons who's going to announce. Again, the surrender date is going to be January 8th, or no earlier than January 8th, also to be determined by the Bureau of Prisons. We're going to continue to cover this here on WOKV. Again, there are appeals still to come. Those surrender dates are pending. We will continue to have every update, and I've also got a comprehensive breakdown of everything that we did capture from today's hearing. You can find that all right now at WOKV.com.
Thank you, Stephanie Brown, WOKV legal analyst Mark Rubin. It's been a long time coming to what has happened today. Sentencing for Corrine Brown, Ronnie Simmons, and Carla Wiley. Of course, it's not the end of the road. As mentioned, appeals expected, or they still have to report. For Stephanie and Mark, I'm Mark Jackson. Thank you so much for listening.
WOKV-FM Atlantic Beach, WOKV Jacksonville. Listen live everywhere you go with the iHeartRadio app. News 104.5 WOKV, a Cox Media Group station.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.